Noise.
Noise.
There, we got it in.
Noise. I'm not going to do it either.
What?
Noise.
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 No.
Noise. It's a tor. Tort's in the chat room.
Noise.
Noise.
Tort is one of five people who has not had their Kickstarter reward mailed to them.
Ha ha.
Saving. You pay. Saving. You like the six. $20. Six people.
Aussie. Shipping.
$20. What?
Shipping it to Australia for $20.
Is it only $20?
I don't know. Probably well, more than nice. That.
I assumed that it was going to like have a digit on that. I haven't gone to the post office yet to check the international shipping. But no, there's a Australian, Great Britain, England specifically. So Australia, England, Canada, which won't be too bad, and a Scandinavian country. I think Norway, if I'm recalling correctly. I haven't mailed yet. And then there's a guy who refuses to answer the survey, so I don't know where he lives. And then there's Professor Lust. Those are the six people who
what
I haven't mailed
to. What you should
do
is put all their packages together, mail them off, and say, when you get this mail to the next person, and it can be like a chain. The next person's responsibility to get it to everybody else in that way.
Build a chain letter
for T-shirts?
No, yeah. Just build a chain letter to try to contact the person who didn't fill out the survey.
Yeah, well, you know. He I think he just had like a patch and dice, so his can just sit in a drawer until I hear from him. Like, I've emailed him like three times. He'll eventually check his spam folder and go, shit!
Speaking of shit, my Arby's is not agreeing with me right now.
What? Arby's is delicious.
Arby's was delicious, but my stomach says, what the hell did you do to me?
You go shit while Brian and I say noise a whole bunch
noice.
Of times. Noice!
Noice! Noice!
Noice!
Noice!
Bro. Well, there will probably be a point where I'm going to just get
pussy
up and go,
on the
though.
Chain wax!
I'm so upset. So HBO has been showing me trailers for all their shows and everything that's coming up whenever I'm watching Westworld on HBO Go.
Nice.
So fucking Keanu has been showing on there as an advertisement for, like, when is Keanu showing? I don't know when it's going to be showing.
It's right
annoying.
Now.
It's not showing now because it last night was some other fucking show.
Noise.
No, it's not noise.
Boys?
No.
It's still, I just still I want Keanu. Aspect. Our title is wrong.
Our title is wrong.
We have the wrong title.
Oh, Christ almighty.
Life.
Hi, Internet.
On the stream it says it.
Yeah, so maybe that person just lives in the past.
No, you are in no, the... No, it's because I haven't updated it.
Oh, okay. Twitch is so dumb. Like, you change it, but it doesn't actually change it. I hate that.
It changes especially... if you're logged into it. If you're trying to change it via, like, it with your PS4, it doesn't work.
Yeah, which annoys me. Like, I'll be on my PS4, it's like, I want to start streaming. What do you want to call your stream? I want to call it Noise. And then I start streaming, and it's still Pussy on the Chain Wax, because that's what it was last time.
I don't think your brother's in the chat room yet.
He is not, which is going to make it difficult to troll him. He's probably still weeping because of the Packers game.
They didn't win.
They did not.
I don't even know what the score is, but I heard people on Facebook complain that it wasn't going well.
47-25.
Noise.
Yeah, and the first quarter was 21-0. Which, even if you ignore that first quarter, we still lose 26-25, so not so good.
Yeah, hilariousness.
The one funny thing, and one of the two of you finds this annoying, but the fantasy football thing.
Yeah.
Because the one nice thing was that the
noise thing.
The one noise thing was the first play in the game was DeMarco Murray running 75 yards for a touchdown. And then the Titans' next drive, DeMarco Murray, they did a razzle-dazzle. They lateraled it to him, and he threw a touchdown pass as a running back throwing a touchdown pass. He's on my fantasy team. So that was my silver lining.
There you go.
I mean, I still wish. Yeah.
All right. Quick introductions. My name is Andy, and I play board games.
Same what we play again? Flashback.
I don't know. Whatever.
My name is Brian. I do stuff.
My name is Nathan, and I... currently am one of the two podcast members who isn't fleeing to poop Arby's.
Arby's, it comes out of your butt.
Usually.
Usually. On the way back Sunday morning, I left for Machine Weekend. We left early. Part of it was So Machine Weekend, here's my recap. Thursday, barbecue, board games. Friday, barbecue, board games. Saturday, barbecue, board games. Sunday morning, I ate a little bit of bacon on the way out, and the bacon had this layer, like an extra layer of grease on it, and I took a bite out of it, and I'm like, And my body was like, you should probably stop now, but I'm like, no, it's bacon. ate a couple under the another full piece. Your body's like, seriously, this is not good for you. Something's wrong with this bacon. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? That's probably just a test of the system, like a test of the bra. You know, they do every so often. I'm like, that's nothing. Ate four more pieces. My body said, you are fucked.
Yeah. I saw you like a half hour later and...
I made it about a half an hour driving, had a pass out, threw up a little bit in a gas station. I go to the back seat. We make it another 10 minutes. I'm like, pull over, and I throw up for like five straight minutes. Like, I think the entire weekend's worth of food I ate. And then I felt better.
Jesus.
It was just like a, it was like The Exorcist times 50 of just, and
bad guy, bacon.
And the guy just drove by. He looked at me and I was vile. I wave at him as I'm vomiting. Because what am I going to do? I'm in the middle of vomiting. But every vile, so that's my story. I vomited a lot on Sunday.
Not noise. Friday I judged the LCQ, and then Friday night and Saturday and Sunday was all board gaming. Good stuff. Board gamed with chat famous non-Euclidean Nick. Played some Secret Hitler with him. I watched people, like, there were too many people. I brought out Space Alert, and there were too many people to play it, so I watched four games of Space Alert, and that was still enjoyable.
Well, while you were watching people play your Space Alert, I was watching people play my XCOM, because we basically didn't, we had more people than we had us, so we sort of just, like, guided people through the games.
Yeah, which is, you know, sometimes nice with those co-op games that we own. We can basically just work as a DM almost.
Yeah.
Like, here you go, guys. Go battle aliens.
And then Ben Lang showed me in the Shays Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition.
Yeah.
And I think I've talked about on the podcast how much I hate the 1st Edition. The 2nd Edition was just amazing. Like, I went out. I got home. The very first thing I did, I got back into Madison, and I just went to the store and bought the game and all the expansions for it because it was just so stellar.
That's cool.
And St. Louis. I've never had barbecue in St. Louis in previous years, and I feel like that was like a life mistake because, man, the barbecue down there is just phenomenal. So
I went out to barbecue twice, and one of the times I went to a place that apparently is famous for its brisket, the Sugar Fire.
Yeah,
they were out of brisket, so I got like everything else. I got turkey and sausage and pulled pork, and then I stole a rib from somebody because I got the three meat combo.
Sure,
but it was okay.
Yeah, you're insane. And then I went to
Bogart's. I went to Bogart's, and that's apparently a rib place, and I got ribs there, and that was really good.
Yeah,
in fact, they had like six or seven sauces, and I used none of the sauces.
Their ribs, I had most of the rib without sauce. I just tried some of the sauce just to do it, but
like,
man,
a bite each, but it was unnecessary. Like, the ribs were just good as is, which is a sign of good ribs. But no, like, Sugar Fire was just unimpressed. Like, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed it very much so, but, you know, I enjoy Famous Dave's very much so. So
yeah, we went to Sugar Fire more because we really love Sugar Fire. We liked Sugar Fire overall much more than Bogart. Bogart was great, but everyone I went with just thought Sugar Fire was the bee's knees.
Because the sausage was good. I mean, turkey's good. I liked they had a cranberry barbecue sauce that I put on the turkey. But, like, the side dishes, I had baked beans and then mac and cheese, and the mac and cheese was just, like, heavy, like unpleasant to eat. And
I love the heavy thick. Well, I mean, I didn't really care about the size because I was like, this.
Sure, I mean, meat. It's not the point, I guess, but it was okay. It had honey butter, which is nice, but
it was amazing. The next store, they had Sugar Fire like pies, and we got like some pie shakes, which was amazing. Yeah. That's like pushing a slice of pie into a shake with some ice cream and then making it up into a shake.
That's a blizzard.
No, not what they do. It's literally just, it's kind of, but it's more pure. It's just,
see, maybe that I should have done.
Then we went to some candy place that was really famous, and the candy something that we got, like, something they made their own fresh candy. We got stuff there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was amazing, and I had an erection, but that's how I am anytime I have decent barbecue. I just love barbecue. So, I mean, it's just maybe that I've already at peak enjoyment of barbecue that it can't get better.
Yeah, but yeah, it was basically, I basically ate most of the time there, put on, like, a couple pounds, so much for losing weight. I have to, like, redouble my effort now, but yeah. It was vacation.
Right.
And then just barbecue. Just I watched some people. I think Pappy's. Yeah.
I didn't go to Pappy's.
Pappy's was good. I think some people actually played War Machine there.
And that's usually a mistake.
It's a rumor, though. I think someone played War Machine at War Machine Week. I don't know anyone who did it, though.
No. Oh, surprise. Mad Dogs did well at a tournament. Surprise.
Were there any Mad Dogs versus Mad Dogs on the stream?
There was not one of the two Mad Dogs players lost in the quarterfinals, so it did not happen.
Was he playing Mad Dogs or the other list?
I don't know which list he was playing when he lost, but he lost, and so he didn't make it to the finals because Mad Dogs versus Mad Dogs would have Hungerford wanted that to be the finals so he could have it as exhibit one in his case.
The picture of him looking at the table that has been memed like 75,000 times is so amazing, with him looking down at the table and then the guy who won is smiling, and it's just like such a brilliant image.
People, I haven't seen that picture.
People have like put like 1,000. It's like 1,000 versions and all these like captures. Well,
find me 47 of them.
Holy sweet Jesus! How have you not seen this?
I haven't seen it.
Like the internet, everyone but you seen it. Even Andy seen it.
Well, I've been busy burning bridges on Facebook, but that's okay. I've moved past that.
Yes.
So yeah, no, played board games. I played most of the board games that I had already played before, so nothing particularly new to report there.
Yeah, I only played one new game.
I played Secret Hitler, which is basically Resistance, but a little different. Nick's in the chat, and I think Nick, I played it with him. It was his copy of the game, and I think he's grotesquely wrong about something in the game, and I'd be curious for feedback. Because the thing is, and you'll understand, you've played Resistance, so you don't even need to have played Secret Hitler to get this. Oh, there's a oh.
It's this image, but 1,000 different things are above Will's head.
Oh, okay.
It's just
and there's Chili.
Yeah, but it's just, Chili. It's just such a great...
Okay.
It's a great little image of him.
Memes are always good. But so Secret Hitler, it's one of the standard like hidden team games like Werewolf or whatever.
Love memes. You seem so just...
I do love memes. Listen to my anecdote.
Fine, tell your story.
I'm telling Nick he's wrong about something.
Well, we know
and
that.
And I'm talking to you about a game balance thing. So there's the Labor Party, and then there's the fascists. And the fascists win... Mostly they want to get Hitler elected chancellor.
Sure.
Okay. And so there's like four or five labor people, and then there's two fascists, and then there's Hitler, who's also a fascist. So he's on their team. But the two normal fascists know each other, and they know who Hitler is, but Hitler doesn't know who anybody is. So, you know, he keeps his eyes closed. The other fascists open their eyes so they see each other, and then Hitler like gives a thumbs up. Okay.
Okay.
So... The thing is, he just wants to be elected chancellor. Like, after the halfway point of the game, it kicks in that victory thing. So Hitler just wants to be elected chancellor. He doesn't care who elects him chancellor.
Okay.
And so Nick was talking about how he thinks it's strategically strong for Hitler to figure out where the other fascists are. And sometimes the fascists have to tip their hands and reveal that they're on the evil team so that Hitler can figure it out too, and hope that Hitler figures out what the other people don't figure out. But why would they care if Hitler knows? Like, all they have to do is convince the group to elect the guy that they know that they win if he's elected chancellor. And they don't care if he knows them.
The last round, basically, you say, we're going to pick a random person. At the last turn of the event, someone picks someone to be the chancellor.
Yeah, so you pass, like, if six labor things get passed, the labor people win. If five fascist things, or it's five labor things, the labors win. If six fascist things pass, the fascists win. After three fascist things have passed, it kicks in the, if Hitler is elected chancellor, the fascists win at that point. So it's like halfway through the game that becomes an active thing. And again, it doesn't matter. Like Hitler doesn't need to know who the fascists are. He just needs to get elected chancellor.
Dude, and the players and whoever's Hitler's secret, right?
Yeah, he knows who he is. But yeah, it's secret. It's a hidden thing. And when you look at people's IDs, if you look at Hitler's ID, you just see that he's a fascist. You don't even get to know that he's Hitler.
Okay.
But so he gains no advantage from knowing who the other fascists are, because it doesn't matter. Like, to him, it's just six other people.
Yeah.
And they just need to elect him chancellor. True. And two of those people also want it, but why would he care who those people are?
Because they're guaranteed votes for him.
They're guaranteed votes for him. So he's like, there's six people, and I need to convince two of them, because then it'll be four against two, and I'll be chancellor.
Probably.
Yeah. And so, like Nick's saying now in chat, that like helps voting because Hitler is completely trusted if he's playing right. But him being trusted doesn't matter for him to know who's trusting him. Like, you know, he always plays straight faced.
Yeah.
He always just plays as an honest person. It's irrelevant to him which of the two people out there are his allies, because he just wants all of them to want him elected. And the fact that he has a head start.
How many people to vote for someone to become a chancellor? All six?
It's a majority. It's like voting for a mission in Resistance. Okay. You know, the president, you pass the president token, the president picks a chancellor, and then you vote. It's just like picking a team in Resistance. If that vote fails, you pass it, and you pick a new team, in this case, pick a new chancellor. So it's just a majority vote.
Gotcha.
Hitler
was on Supernatural last week.
Good for Hitler. As a related topic. I saw a random episode of Supernatural like last year. I haven't watched it in years and years, and then I saw an episode with evil mascot costumes.
Yes.
I only watched it because like the first 10 minutes it was wearing like a creepy bunny hat, and bunny masks are creepy.
Yes.
Because, like, in The Misfits, there's the scene with the guy with the golf club beating people to death wearing a bunny mask, and it's really cool.
Misfits.
Misfits is amazing. It's a British show with, like, a... they're like shitty, not shitty, but well, they're shitty people. Their superpowers aren't shitty, but it's like a superhero show. And one of them goes back in time and headbutts Hitler. Speaking of Hitler.
Oh, right.
I think the 200th episode of it on, like in the last year or two, was amazing. It's my other
Supernatural or Misfits?
Supernatural. Misfits is not quite that far.
No.
I've never seen Supernatural.
It's fun.
Other than the Christmas episode.
You need to see the Mystery Spot episode. It's like Groundhog's Day, and one of the brothers like keeps dying, and only the other brother knows that like he's in a loop, and so he just like he'll wake up and he's like, you know, what the hell, and then his brother will die, and then he'll wake up again, and it's hilarious because they like have a whole montage where his brother's like, does this taste weird to you, and then just flashes to them waking up the next morning, and he's like, well, hello, puppy, and then it flashes to them waking up the next morning.
It's a funny episode, but also terrifyingly depressing.
It is. Yeah, it's a little of both.
Speaking of depressing, I got Jeff to watch all of Children of Men last night.
It's a good movie.
It is an incredibly depressing, sad movie.
Yeah, well, you know. It's hilarious. It's like The Road. Yeah. It's fun.
It's slightly more fun than The Road.
This is going to be very odd.
It actually is more fun than The Road, yes.
I mean, yeah. Most things are more fun than The Road.
Requiem for a Dream?
It's a tie.
Okay.
This is not going to be a good podcast for Andy.
What's that?
So I'm gonna ramble on. I saw The Arrival today.
Oh.
And I think I have the same opinion of that movie as I do Interstellar. It was incredibly well done, and I don't know if I liked it.
That's how I felt about Birdman.
Yeah. Well, that movie I'm pretty sure I didn't like, but it was still amazingly well done.
You've decided you didn't like
it. I'm leaning more against than okay. For, but I still can't. Like, I can't. It's still like a blind filled in the, you know, the actual.
I don't feel that movie stands well to watch a second time.
No,
I'm glad that I saw it.
I think it was beautiful. I think it was artistic.
Musically, it was neat.
Yeah.
I just don't think I would actually, you know, like sit down and watch it again. I don't feel like that necessary need to do that.
And I could watch Interstellar again. I could probably watch Arrival again. But then I'm like, I don't know. But then I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I liked it. It's a weird category of movie.
Neat little trivia is that the whatever the heck it's called in Interstellar, like the time warp black hole thing that he flies around, like that's a real set. That wasn't CGI.
They tried a lot of pressure.
That physically, like all that 3D rainbow stretchy shit, and they just yanked him around on wires. Bye, Andy. He can keep phone posting for the whole episode.
See, when you eat Arby's 7 days a week straight, this is what happens to you.
I have an immunity to fast food.
I usually do.
Like, Taco Bell does nothing to me. And people are like, oh, eat Taco Bell and poop fire. I'm like, no, it's just delicious, and then I'm happy.
Yeah, then I get more.
Yeah. But, yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, we could talk about Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange was really good. That's my review. It's pretty. I saw it. See, that's a movie where I saw it. It was really well done. And I also know I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an important. I was able to go, yes, this was enjoyable.
Yeah. I like. I don't know how spoilery we want to get, but I like the surprisingly subdued climax. Like the non-violent resolution to an extent. Like it was very clever. Like instead of a big final battle, it's just like, I figured out how to fix this. And then he fixes it.
Which is cool. And you kind of had a lot of good battles right before that too. So it wasn't like they didn't take that away from you. They still gave you some really good encounters.
Tor's angry. So, you know.
It's been out for months.
Yeah, like 3 days. That's basically months.
It's been like 2 weeks.
Oh, you're right. That was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Nice.
So Tort, in it, when the Infinity Gauntlet is created and then Thanos eats Spider-Man, I was amazed.
I was surprised at that. I was also surprised that Thanos was future Doctor Strange brought back in time by Loki.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is ridiculous. It had a good amount of humor in it. I liked it. It was a fun movie. Hey, Marvel, I'm not sure who directed this one, I forget, but it had a good balance of like the Marveliness. And yet, you know, the humor and the action, the suspense and the seriousness. I can't tell in the beginning, did he cause the car accident or the person hit him? Because he was like an inattentive driver in a storm and then gets in a car accident, which causes the chain of event to happen. But I couldn't tell if it was him or the other person, because I think if it was him, I think he killed the other car driver. It's like he might have accidentally murdered someone in the beginning of the film, but it makes it's kind of, it was unclear. Because everyone I saw it was like, well, it was a good movie, but I think Strange should be in jail because he murdered that random guy.
Well, then let's assume that he didn't murder that
guy. Yeah, it's a weird little thing. Just when you watch a tour, pay attention to the car accident. Spoiler, there's a car accident. Spoiler, it doesn't matter.
Between this and Constantine, I've decided that I really enjoy Tilda Swinton when she's an androgynous, superpowered humanoid.
Yeah.
True story.
She's a pretty actress.
Tilda Swinton's good. Yeah. And I don't know, like, she's is she like 80 or 30? Like, I can never, like, it seems like she's aging well, because I feel like she's been around since the dawn of time, but yeah. She still is appears fairly youthful. It's kind of like, my brother's on chat. Adam, should back the fall Kickstarter of
Downfall the Edge.
Downfall the Edge.
So this is Kickstarter. It's basically by the guys who made Niroshima Hex, I think it's called. I probably mispronounced that game title.
No, it was Niroshima Hex.
And they made Cry Havoc. Both games are superbly rated. And they made this new game, which is a hex-based combat game, but it's more of a miniature game. There's like six factions plus a bunch of other things. The game has kind of a campaign mode you can play through multiple times, and it has like a legacy aspect to it, so you can play 2 to 4 people versus or co-op, and it has like just a fuck ton of miniatures. And your brother is like, I don't know if I should get it. I'm like, it looks like the most amazing thing in the world. I don't know how you don't get it.
The problem for him is that he lives, he's on a military base.
Sure.
And he has his wife,
yep,
his son, and his daughter, and that's it for people to play board games with.
Him and his son could go through a whole co-op, the whole co-op campaign. They said it's like a visual version of like a Total War game where you do this campaign stuff, you build up your empire, then every so often you go into like battle mode and you fight the enemy as a co-op thing, and it has like bosses to encounter.
So you've backed it.
You build your armies. Well, if Adam gets it, why would I have to do it?
That's true. Well, he's gonna back it twice and send us one of the copies.
It just seems like
he's on a military officer's pay grade.
Yeah,
he can afford to back it.
It's
twice.
Like three. You basically. The war is like a different levels, and the war chest level, which is about 200 American, is just a fuck ton of models. And then like there's these boss mods and these terrain mods, and you can those where it gets expensive, but they have these really cool, like you can spend like $30 US and get the like, instead of like the true miniature version, you can kind of get like the old BattleTech cutout things where you get all the rules for the bosses, and you get like with plastic stands, so you don't spend like the $200 it would cost American to get these models. You'd pay like $30, and you get all the cars, and you just have like the plastic the cardboard cutouts for the bosses.
Oh, I would totally buy that one.
Yeah, and the bosses are things you'd use so rarely. Why would you spend $1 million? So I think it was a really smart move on that company's. We're not trolling you. I think it looks legitimately amazing. And I mean, like, $300, whoop-de-doo.
Right. He spends that on coke. Like, do half as much cocaine as normal for a week, and there's $300 right there.
Like, for me, that's like the starting part. That's like the first entry into a new War Machine faction is $300.
Right.
This is like a gazillion. This is all the models for six factions, and you can play co-op and versus him and his kid. I mean, if you love your son and you want to play games with him, this would be like the perfect, you know,
and
game.
And his daughter.
And his daughter, yeah,
don't exactly. Be sexist.
True. Well, I didn't know the age. I thought his daughter was much younger.
She's, no. Okay. Well, not much. She's like a couple years younger.
She's gaming.
They're both double ages.
Okay. Then the whole family could play this. I mean,
it's like 14 and 12 or something.
Campaign game modes are so much fun, and this has like a legacy aspect to it, and I think we've all seen those are pretty freaking good elements. So,
yeah.
It seems like a no-brainer. And like I told him in the Facebook chat, if you get it and you don't play it much, you blow $300. But nothing's worse than seeing a Kickstarter go by and you realize I should have gotten it and then not, because you miss out on so many fucking exclusives.
Yep.
I picked up this Teenage Mutant Ninja Game Turtle, this game from I'm Bored, and they had not the highest version, but the second highest Kickstarter version for sale. And that kind of got me to get it because there's a bunch of exclusives in there. If I would have bought it a month from now off the shelf, all that would have been gone. Yes, you're visible. Travis.
Travis is visible in chat.
And I like this game, but then I realized that the full Kickstarter version that was never available retail had like two things I'll never be able to get. It had those monsters Andy was talking about.
Mausers!
Mausers are not in the game I got. They were Kickstarter exclusive.
They're robots.
They're robot things. And Splinter is a playable character. Were the two things I'll never get.
Is Splinter?
Well, you might get them. You just have to pay a kidney on eBay.
I mean, I think the game is nice enough, but I probably won't.
I was a year off. I said 12 and 14. Damn it.
11 and 13. They would love this game. I mean, I don't know. I'm like, it seems like a no-brainer. $300 and you get an insane amount of stuff. And if you guys, I mean, the campaign looks like it could take months to play.
Right.
I was thinking about doing this over at like Misty or Pegasus, where they have like the communal gaming section.
Yeah,
is put like light risk legacy or something like that.
Should put it in there.
Into the slightly used
area. Because somebody saw pandemic like or pandemic in Misty's yesterday and we're thinking like, oh, that would be great if it was pandemic.
Adam pointed out to me and I pointed out to Andy, but you were here when I pointed out to Andy after Adam pointed out to me, but the rules for Risk Legacy do say that when you start in a game as a player, you can start either in an empty city or a city that you named. So he can start in Catbug whenever he wants to. We must just miss that rule.
We said that last week, I think.
Did we? We didn't or podcast 2 weeks last ago. Week. Two I told ago. You 2 weeks ago, but I didn't think we said it on air.
Oh, yeah, probably not. Yeah.
People keep sending me scorn lists.
Oh my!
They'll be so different come January. I know. It's hard to even do lists.
It's like my brain is just turned off the scorn right now. It's just turned off because I'm waiting for the errata. Like I'm not negative. I can't think about it right now.
I mean that's we talked about. Yeah. That. It's a matter of any time spent in the tank right now is pointless.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, you can't do research on something that's going to change.
That's what some of the guys were sitting there talking about too, and they're talking about practicing for the ATC is like, and they're playing Retribution. And he's like, well, I've got Ossian and whatever for my caster pairing. I'm like, well, maybe you should just in case, maybe play test some other casters instead of Ossian. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. It would be shocking if Ossian didn't get a little bit of a punch in his face and their rata.
Yeah, I think it would just be Deadeye's really the thing to blame.
Probably.
Because that's too much of everything. Like, he was the damage guy, and Raven was the accuracy gal. And to have him be both, is just it's too much of a good thing. He doesn't really have a drawback.
No, not much of it all.
And not having a drawback makes it fun to play that character, but then you're like, well, why do I have a rest of a faction?
Right.
I mean, why do I...
Or an opponent.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, and speaking of Una 2, do we want to get a little War Machine-y and talk about anything that came out at War Machine Weekend? Talk about...
I have no idea what came out. I mean, I know models came out. I know which ones people liked and which ones they didn't like, but that's all I know. They would talk about it morning, but I'm like, that's not board game talk or barbecue talk. And I walked away.
Oh, yeah, I should mention, too, while you guys were talking, I went to I got food from all three places, all three of the same food. Basically
brisketed across the board.
Brisket,
right?
From Podunk's. It was it Podunk's?
Pappy's.
No, Bogart's.
Bogart's.
And Sugarfire.
Bogart's, Pappy's, and Sugarfire. And I think that my favorite out of the three was Pappy's. But the Sugarfire, the person that brought me it didn't actually bring me any barbecue sauce at all. And it was still ridiculously delicious. And that was probably,
I'm not a big rib guy, so I only got ribs at the place I was told that was the rib place. But I mean, they were phenomenal. But I didn't like. I'm not like normally. If I get barbecue like in Madison, I would never like say give me ribs. I'll get like the pulled pork or the whatever.
I'm usually a pulled pork sandwich with coleslaw in the sandwich guy. That's my go-to barbecue.
I like brisket pretty much.
Brisket's good too. I mean, brisket and pulled pork. If I would get two meats. But unless someone says this place is renowned for ribs, otherwise.
After pulled pork, I'm not a big brisket guy. I have brisket's probably one of my least eaten meat varieties. Mm. Like I'll do the pulled pork and I'll get ribs or rib tips before I will skip brisket like every time. When I eat beef, I usually go for like steak. And then barbecue places, it's just ribs or pork for me there.
The places, it depends on what type of brisket you get. There, I've seen them cut it really thin sliced, mm-hmm. so it's almost like a roast beef.
Yeah.
Where you just throw it over a sandwich and that. But the thick stuff,
sure,
that's actually the stuff I like. And that's what Pappy's had.
I'm sure it's good. Tort's asking what a brisket is. Tort, the chest part of a cow is the brisket. And so it's just a roast beef. And then it's roast beef is what it really is. It's just specifically the chest of the cow. Yeah, I don't know. Just for some reason, brisket's never been my go-to at barbecue places. I've always been ribs and pulled pork.
Good time.
So one of my coworkers went to Samba's for his birthday. Because he'd never been there. He's like, where should I go for my birthday? I'm like, go to Samba's. He's like, I've never heard of it. And I punched him like four or five times. And then I explained Samba's told him.
As you do.
And I told him that if the barbecue chicken guy comes up to you, you tell him, fuck off, I'm not going to eat any barbecue chicken. I'm here for beef and pineapple. And he literally said that to the guy at Samba's. He said the guy looked so sad.
He literally said,
I don't know if he said fuck off, but he told the guy, don't even talk to me. I'm here for beef and pineapple. I don't have time for your barbecue chicken.
I mean, it's like, true.
It's the correct thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
We should, if we go there next, we should bring a sign and put it on the table. Do not bring us chicken.
Well, he texted me a picture of the outside of the building.
Yeah.
And then like a half hour, 45 minutes later, he texted me, I want to die. Like, yeah, that's your experience.
Yeah, that place is any kind of Brazilian grill is amazing.
I eat the coleslaw on the pulled pork sandwich, not just with it. It's a bun with pulled pork and coleslaw.
That is truly grilled. You're ruining everything by putting
that coleslaw. That is the correct way to eat it.
The only way to eat coleslaw is to not eat coleslaw.
I'd give it a shot. It depends on the type of coleslaw. I don't like the vinegar style coleslaw. I like more of the it's mayonnaise or
sure.
Whatever,
yeah,
the white creamy coleslaw I like. I don't
usually on a sandwich you do more of the vinegar style because the whole point is that cuts through the sweetness of the pulled pork, and so you get like that contrasting flavor. It's like putting pickles onto a sandwich where you get like the different sharper flavor. But yeah, it is what it is.
Depends on the pickle for that too.
It does indeed. Yeah,
there's some rancid pickles.
There sure are.
Brisket. Well, okay, fine. When Travis comes to Madison, he wants to go to Samba's next time.
Sounds good. He needs to come on a weekend because it's always worth doing the Sunday brunch.
Sunday brunches. We need to have him come. We need to like do a Sunday brunch plan for it and then do like a mystery thing again.
So how will we do it next weekend? Next Sunday?
I don't know. It's so soon. I like a month or two to prepare for it.
Well, next Saturday. Announcements. Announcements.
Announcements.
This coming Saturday, there's an event up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
There's some like big con thing going on where you can pay $80 to play in a Warhammer Age of Jerkoff event, or they have a 75-point steamroller thing for $20. And I was thinking about carpooling.
Is it only $20? I thought it was
$20.
I thought it was like 40-something.
No, the thing is that the Warhammer one, like people read it wrong because the top thing at the top is the Warhammer one. It says like entry $45. And then you scroll down and the other events are like, you know, 20, 15, whatever. That 45 is just for that. It's not like a flat-out entry fee.
Just Saturday?
Yeah, it's Saturday. The War Machine event is doors open 9, dice roll at 10. And then it goes, hypothetically, 5 rounds. It's either 4 or 5 rounds. It's a 32-person cap, so if it caps, we'll have to have 5 rounds. But if it only goes 4 rounds, you'd maybe be able to jump over to it. If it goes the full 5, you'd have to pick whether you want to drop or go into it, but they also in the evening are doing the three casters, and they are battle group with each other.
I haven't seen it played. I just heard people talk about it after War Machine Weekend, but they said it was the worst. It was the amazing for the Kator players who had Karchev, Strakov, and Vlad in it.
Sure.
So, you know, they're charging 23-some inches all across the field.
Isn't Vlad's feet warjacks get double speed?
Yeah, Karchev will get double speed.
He's not a warjack.
Isn't he
in the machine. He takes damage as a warjack, unless they change it in Mark III. But in Mark II, he specifically was not a warjack.
Okay. But anyway, it was, yeah. Whoever played it, was insane.
It's I mean, the whole point is supposed to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's supposed to be ridiculous. You know, because like Josh was showing a Merc one where it was going to be Bart because he could batten, and then Damiano has an armor feat, and then, you know, so he's stacking all that shit. But it is what it is. But the point is they're having a Thunderdome in the evening, but if the normal one goes 5 rounds, you wouldn't be able to play in both.
Sure.
I was thinking on next Sunday getting a day going for playing like some board game all day, like a Mechs versus Minions or something. I knew it was your weekend off, but if you're not here, if you're doing that on Saturday, you probably won't be available.
I don't know. It depends. Because number one, I was trying to get a carload, and like, so people were like, huh, that would be nice. And then for a week, nobody said anything else. Dan asked about it, but yeah. On the other hand, to get there on time, it's like a four and a half hour drive.
Oh, 5 hours.
5 hour drive. So I'd have to leave here at like 4:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And fuck that.
If you'd be driving, I'll do it.
Let's applaud for your brother. Good job.
Yay.
You spent money on something amazing. Yeah, that was a really hard one to do.
Yeah.
Should I buy this amazing thing for this little bit of money? Yes.
Good job.
But no, I want to next Sunday.
Now ship me Minions.
Because I don't know what you would do. Yeah, send Andy your mechs versus Minions. I think like next Sunday, like the three of us like should get like someone like Jim or Keith and just like all day mechs versus Minions. It.
Why aren't we just going to be a board game podcast?
I mean, we are. When have we not been?
Fair.
I mean, we've always been War Machine adjacent, and then we've always called ourselves War Machine adjacent. You know, it's
Sometimes I want to scratch that itch, though. Like, I wanted to like drive to Iowa and sit in on a recording of Muse on Minis just so I could talk about War Machine once. When Kerr was here, I could occasionally do it, but now he's dying of hip disease, and so
he'll be here next week.
Oh, okay, cool. Sure.
So Kerr will be here. We have a special guest who's never been on the podcast.
Are we making another podcast, by the way?
What? Are we?
Yeah.
I didn't know we are. What do you mean? We're done? 4 years, we're done?
No. Like, the other day, Jake's like, oh, so what's this thing Andy was talking about, you guys starting up a new podcast? And I'm like, what?
Quimby?
Yeah. Quimby. I mean, he's also insane and dumb and wrong.
Oh, God. I have some great stories about Quimby already.
He's adorable.
I've only been back in the meta for, like, a day, and I already have, like, three awesome stories from Quimby.
I work with him. Think how my life goes.
Quimby is just too young and full of
he's
nonsense.
Adorable.
He is adorable. No, it's
short bursts.
Nobody else really cares about this that much, but it was talking about if we were going to switch over to a different day for podcasting because sometimes Sundays just you know, don't work out very well. Switching over to maybe Mondays, which unfortunately would make Brian maybe switch or not come at all.
Well, I am because me and Ethan play board games on Mondays. So.
Yeah. Sort of. Well, that has always never been set in stone. But anyway,
it moves.
But we have two people that would be work out really well on Mondays that would be fresh blood in a sense.
Jake and someone?
Fresh fish.
Fresh cakes.
There's no way I could podcast with Quimby.
Quimby and Marshall recorded they were going to do a podcast that was all about the fluff of War Machine.
Yeah.
Which would be received very well because that's a topic that nobody covers and would be very interesting and, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And they recorded like the first episode like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Quimby will put it on the internet any day now.
Oh, so he's in charge of that?
He's in charge of just editing and posting.
Yeah. Quimby's your typical like young, idealist, great idea, lazy as fuck person.
You know who your grandparents think millennials are? That's Quimby.
So
yeah, pretty much.
I'm gonna go into little spoilers here.
We skipped last week, Legionnaires. We did not record last week.
Correct. So I'm gonna go into a little bit of spoilers here just because it was
spoilers about what?
About The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. Well, we didn't know what
sorry, I didn't say what it was. So this is a Quimby story. So John, our Menoth John, the true Menoth John.
The only Menoth John, man.
Talking about like how he was just done. He just got done with season 6. So he hasn't watched any of season 7 yet. And, you know, that he wouldn't want to be spoiled. And so Jake pops up and goes, oh, Glenn dies. Like, immediately. He's like, I just got done watching the season finale of season 6. I don't want to know what happens now on. Jake's like, Glenn dies.
Yeah. Why?
It's just because he
did. Did you guys immediately yell at him?
We did. Actually, I just more so looked in shock at him, and I realized in my head that it might work out okay for John. In a sense, in how that episode unveils itself.
Sure.
So,
because he'll think, oh, okay, oh.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, Quimby, he's a special. We don't like to say negative things about people, but he's kind of an idiot. He's married to a very smart person, but you married him, so maybe smart's a question.
I have yet to see her, so I don't believe that she exists.
I have.
Are you sure it's not somebody? Make an appointment to see her again and see if she's changed. If it's a new girl.
Multiple people on a Kickstarter, or multiple people on her feed have commented how they like to watch us play board games more. We should do some board game stuff.
Yeah, I have two episodes in the can to to post, and they should be posting on the same weekend as our anniversary date.
Yeah. We need to record more battle reports of War Machine as well.
We need to actually play some War Machine to
do battle reports. I play it every Wednesday.
Oh,
I play it every Wednesday. I have a Caliban list with commandos in it right now that I'm playing. So that's some janky stuff.
I should do battle reports of me doing pet battles in WoW.
Sure.
No. But no, yeah, I agree. And that's something that's just trying to fit into the timeline of things, too.
We got a shitload of stuff going on in life. It's hard. We're not like the Muse crew where it pays for everything. I mean, they're officially licensed for Guild Ball.
Yeah, they would.
I didn't realize that they were the official. They have the full license. They're official Guild Ball providers.
Yep.
Nice.
Someone asked, I did back the Shadows of Brimstone, the new Kickstarter.
I did as well, because I have to have a copy.
I have spent over $1,200 on Kickstarter in the last month. That's a big number.
That was also the reason why Ryan wanted Adam to
back
the other one.
In Kickstarter. It's acceptable.
Yeah, but then usually what you do is you get your Kickstarter stuff, you play it like a dozen times, and then you sell it on eBay, and shouldn't you like turn a profit?
I haven't sold much.
You missed the zombie side bubble a little bit.
Yeah, that's the one. But yeah, well, most of it, like the others I played, like some of it, like, well, I would have kept season one of zombie side, but the Black Plague stuff is just so much more fun. So I have that to play when I bring out stuff.
I have yet to play the Black Plague, but I've heard it's good. Yeah. I would like to play it.
I mean, I play enough board games per week that I don't mind. I mean, it's really taken over as my primary hobby, and it's just so much easier. You can sit down, open up a board game box, play a game for a little bit, put it away, then play a whole new game, and it's less involved, which is what my mind level can be at.
I really feel that the Mechs versus Minions would make a very good, even just a live stream of that game, because it is timed, so it's not a lot of.
Right, and it's very out. And it's got that hectic element. We were playing last night. We had, if you open up the box of Mechs vs. Minions, there's a lot of fucking like minions in that box. We almost had every fucking minion on the board last night in one of those games. It was getting pretty stupid in a great way. That game is the right sense of.
We won that game in the best fashion ever too. As I pushed Jim, he was only like three squares away from the. Where he had to go to win the game.
His objective.
Yeah, in my mech, I was... Basically, all I could do was turn and then go, like, 11 spaces. I could turn and go 11 spaces.
He just rammed him. Pretty much. Little bump drafting.
Well, I don't know. Each mission is kind of a little surprise when you play it first time, but you basically had to do three things in this mission, and every time you achieved one, two, or three, the game became harder. And I had accidentally ran over the first one before we were ready. And then I grabbed it, and then I ran into a corner, got hurt, dropped what I had, then my mech flew far away. So I triggered the first objective, made the game harder,
and then dropped the objective.
At the farthest point, and then flew in the wrong direction really far. We still managed to turn it around and win, but it was just an added level of stupidity.
That'd be like if, hypothetically, in Zombicide, somebody got in a car, ran over 30 zombies, leveled up, and then died.
Basically, yes.
Hypothetically.
Similar.
Yeah. You're going back to that
one. One was on purpose, one was accidental.
Hey, you know what? If we had not pulled a double zombie activation, it would have been perfect. I stand by that, and I will till the day I die.
Which was immediately after that happened.
Yeah. Was it Katie and Jeremy? Or is it,
yeah,
I don't remember who was so
Jim
angry
was, at you. Jim was.
Everybody was angry.
Jim was the most angry.
We were all angry. The thing is, it would have been fine if the zombies hadn't double activated that time.
And they ate everybody. Dave Chappelle was on Saturday Night Live last night. He was very funny. Side note.
I watched his little Negan skit just recently. It was a little funny. It just kind of got weird at the end.
It did.
But otherwise, it was silly.
A Saturday Night Live sketch that starts out kind of funny and then goes on for too long and then is unsatisfying?
It's no David St. Pumpkins or David S. Pumpkins. That's
the reverse, in that it starts out dumb and then somehow wraps around and is amazing.
Yeah. That was a good skit.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Hanks.
I like that they interviewed his kid after that, too, and he was like, that's basically what he said about it. He was like, that's my dad.
Well, Tom Hanks is so funny, and he doesn't pull his funny out so much.
He's hilarious.
Do any more fucking comedies.
Did you see him in Philadelphia?
You know, dude, I'm dying.
Classic.
Good time.
That is that was incredibly in sync as well.
Yeah, that was it was good stuff.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Good times, great oldies. Boop boop. Boop. Nice.
Feral Commandos. Somebody asked about Feral Commandos in the chat. I'm digging them. It's kind of an interesting thing because Mark III launched, and they were in War Room right from day one. You know, yeah. So that was kind of cool to see a new thing in War Room that didn't exist yet. And they kind of seemed, like, dumb because they cost the same as Brigands, and Brigands are the best unit in Hordes. And so I bought them at War Machine Weekend because the points I got for running the LCQ was exactly what I needed to get two boxes in their FA2. So I'm like, sure. Boom, doing it, perfect. This way I don't have to wait for a press gang order, you know. Anyway, so... So then I had to, like, force myself to, like, talk myself into playing them. And I don't know if I just fooled myself and logicked into it or if it's actually true, but they're a decent alternative to Brigands. Because the thing is, without the UA, they're the exact same point cost.
Sure.
So to apples, you have to take away the prey and reform from the Brigands because they get those from the UA. So for the same point cost, they lose Hogwild. Hogwild's a good order, but they lose Hogwild, and they lose 4 inches range on their gun.
Okay.
In exchange for that, they get Advanced Deploy, they get Prowl, they get Feign Death, they get 3-inch AoEs on their gun, they get CRA, and they get Brutal Charge. Like, that's a lot of shit to be picking up. And then even when you factor in the UA that they can't take, sure, there's Prey and Reform. That's awesome. But Brutal Charge means that on the charge, the commandos are doing the same damage to anything that the brigands are doing just to their prey.
If they can hit, they hit.
Not they lose the -2 to hit. That is true. But they also gain 4 points for your army.
It'd be cool if the UA would work for both units.
It would be really cool if the UA would work for both units. I have heard rumblings of what the Thornfall theme force might be, and it doesn't seem necessarily true, but according to that, the commandos get a bonus.
Oh, well, I think they're in the next no quarter.
They are, so we'll see. Like, in a week or so, I'll know what the Thornfall Alliance is. I'm not going to go into what the claim was because it may or may not be true, and if it is true, I'd feel bad that I got a leak, and if it's not true, it's pointless to talk about it.
Yep.
Based on when Sierra hits and I start throwing score on the table, I may very well buy a second unit of Brigands. Just because, I do like Rasheth, and I imagine he won't really change much because he's the one thing that works pretty well.
And Rasheth with two brigands is pretty sexy.
Yeah. I just, if Rasheth, and I don't say this needs to happen because he's fine the way it is, but if he would have the arc through any model instead of just faction, I would 100% do more. I actually love, that's one thing so Mark II, his Steam Force was just fun because it was fun. It was neat to have all the minions in there.
Yeah.
So, like, when I think of Rasheth, I just think of minions. So it's like, it's kind of ingrained in my head. So I'm only sad from the theory of losing that. There's no, like, game rule wise that makes me sad. It was just such a fun way to make different lists.
The game rule wise in Mark II was abusing Feral Geists.
Correct.
Right. Because they were immune to the damage.
And that's even been negated because it does damage even to that. So I wish you could still go through, you know, minions just so I could have, like, a whole, you know, minion-themed Rasheth list.
Right, it's cool, the expendability. You know, there's some fucking pig. He can die. I need to arc a spell.
Yeah, this is fun. I would play more minions than with Rasheth because I really want arcs of spells. It's important.
It is. It's someone who doesn't have arc nodes in his army. Yes.
Especially when you're doing debuffs or AoEs or damage or Breath of Corruption's amazing spell and, you know, -2 armor is a pretty good spell.
Yeah, it's like my bad seeds list I have. I had all those sword knights that I converted over just for Magnus that I can't use anymore.
Yeah, well, you know.
Nah.
Good times.
Good times, great oldies.
Nice. Nice. You haven't seen Keanu yet?
I've seen Keanu.
Oh, you just...
I want to see it again.
You want to see it again? Yeah,
I want to see it again. I want to show it to other people because that movie's amazing.
And it did prove to me that a kitten in a do-rag is the cutest thing possible. Mm-hmm. I have never seen anything more adorable than that cat wearing a do-rag.
Never. What's his name's movie? Is it Superstar? I can't think of the movie that's out.
No. Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler's movie. Adam Sandler. No.
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg.
It's something Pop Star.
Never Stopping.
I love that movie so much. It needs to be on, like, something I can watch it on repeat forever.
I've never seen it yet either. Oh,
it's So good.
It was on Redbox.
I have a it might be my favorite movie of the entire year.
I might be in danger of not seeing Doctor Strange.
Why?
My schedule, I just can't seem to fit it in.
Just go right after work. Just go after work tomorrow.
Wait, so, let's go.
Yeah.
Are we going to do it?
How would you not see a Marvel movie in the theater?
Huh?
How would you not see a Marvel movie?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just...
Speaking of fucking witch.
Oh, boy.
How stupid... No. So, we watched
Are you talking
the
about Vivitch?
Yes, the Vivitch, which Vivitch? Was... It was a very dark film, literally. Like, I was like, is that a person or a tree? But, so... Yeah, like, in reviews of the Vitch, people are like, oh, there's this scene where, like, this woman's, like, eating a goat. I'm like, I literally could not see that. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that was disturbing. I saw blackness. But anyway...
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
You go, and you see... We're watching Doctor Strange.
All right.
Movie ends, credits start, and people start fucking walking out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will stay to the first scene because you have a couple sentences. You have like the flashy because you have like flashy credits, and you have a scene, then you have like your scroll credits in this bonus scene. I will stay for the flashy credits and then the scene.
Yeah.
But after that, I'm like, you know what? I'm out. I don't. If you want me to see something, don't put it at the very end because I don't give a fuck.
But the thing at the flash credits, people get up and start walking out to the flashy credits. Then the scene starts and they stop and stand in the middle of the fucking aisle.
Yeah.
The divider aisle between the back and front halves.
Yeah.
It's like, you shitheads, either keep walking or stay in your seat because it's not a fucking surprise that there's something 30 seconds into the credits.
Yeah.
I did see something last night because I never actually watched all of Ted 2 through the credits.
What?
The ending credits of Ted 2 is probably one of the best things. It is.
I've never watched Ted 2.
What?
What?
Ted 2 is surprisingly funny.
It should not be as funny as it is.
Ted was surprisingly funny.
And you're like, well, the sequel will be crappy because they can't do that again, and they did it again.
Yeah. I honestly think Ted 2 is better than Ted 1. But the final credits there, it's amazing.
Is Flash Brian, Gordon in it?
I can't remember. Okay. Yes. But I can't remember if I've seen the end credits or not.
It involves tricks. That's all I can say.
Maybe.
Because it's most definitely not for kids.
Yeah.
Or is for kids.
I like when they sew him up in the first one and he acts all retarded. It's funny.
Non-Lucidity next mentioned that Best Buy had the best combo pack, which is Ted 2, Ted, and Flash Gordon.
That's legit.
That is pretty good. That's a smart packaging right there.
Why hasn't there been a packaging of Hot Fuzz, Bad Boys 2, and Point Break?
That's another no-brainer. I did see, speaking of movies, I rented Bad Moms last night. That was really funny. It's my rental movie.
Bad Moms?
Bad Moms with Mila Kunis.
I don't even know. I don't think I even seen it.
It was hilarious because the moms were bad and it was funny. Get it? Because that's the name of the movie, Bad Moms. And Mila Kunis is adorably hot.
Yeah, she is. She was not in Ted 2.
No, she was not.
She was missing.
Nathan's doing something with his
type A.
I was
trying to remember that's his wrath. Well, now the time has passed, but I saw a thing, you know, saying, dude, this is the weirdest fucking trilogy ever, and it was Clash of the Titans, Wrath of the Titans, and Remember the Titans.
Yeah. That is, yeah. I mentioned that. I know I mentioned that before.
Yeah. On the podcast. I just couldn't remember the name of Wrath of the Titans, so it ruined mentioning that. But
yeah, it's the weirdest trilogy ever.
That's a little ridiculous.
It is a little ridiculous.
Boop, boop, boop.
We're really on point. This
is. I am filling up the quiet time with sound effects, making everything better.
Well, you know.
This is a slight update. I don't think... how fast can food go through a body?
Amazing. You give me a Chili's chocolate lava cake, we can time it because it will be immediate.
That's the thing. That can't be the same food.
No.
My thing is, you eat the lava cake, and the lava cake's like, I'm going to fuck you up. And then your body's like, make room. And so yesterday's dinner sprays out of you.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Your body, it basically, if I eat that chocolate lava cake, it opens up every single gate all the way down. That past the processing part.
But the lava cake itself must still take hours
to digest. But everything at a certain part in your intestines, like the last 40 yards, just sort of open up and go, we're coming out now.
Yeah, because I don't think that was... I really don't think that was Arby's. Because I
ate... You would recognize it?
Well,
If the game was that fast, it would still look like the food. It comes out as like, it just reforms it like a roast beef sandwich in the toilet. Just pull it back on and reeat it because it's I mean, if the game
wouldn't risk it.
If it came out reformed, I'm saying that. Not otherwise, that'd be ridiculous.
Okay.
It just pops out. It pops out of your body.
Like corn.
Well, here's what I don't get, similar to that, is so when you're watching like mice poop or any... No, because they
when
do...
When you're watching mice poop.
They do turds. Let's go with rabbits.
Please elaborate.
Rabbits or giraffes. You're at the zoo, you watch a giraffe poop, okay?
Okay.
So a turd doesn't come out. Their butthole opens and a rain of pebbles. Like, they poop pellets like rabbits do.
I sometimes do that.
Is that normal? I sometimes do that, too.
But
quite often.
Universally formed half-inch spheres. Like, not turds, but just a whole bunch of rabbit pellets.
Yeah.
What are their intestines like that they make pellets? Like, when poo comes out, it's shaped... Like, you could imagine, that was inside of an intestine, and then it came out, and that's an intestine-shaped chunk. Where in there is a little, like, gnome rolling these things into perfect balls and then stacking them up?
I think it just clamps it off.
But they're not... Like, they're spheres. That's why I pulled back from mice, because mice, if you look at mouse poop, you can see where it has, like, pinch-offs. Yeah. But, like, rabbit pellets and giraffes, like, it's... A giraffe is like you dumped out a bucket of bowling or of golf balls. It's just a bunch of spheres, and I just don't get what in their intestines does that instead of just making turds like every other.
They're probably not worried about their butt getting wet when they poop. Like that's a sucky thing about when I poop, like the little pellets sometimes. That's a lot of splash.
Sure, but you still they're not spheres.
Noise.
I just don't get how they make them into spheres.
Science.
Not a small turd, but spheres.
I blame global warming.
You could Google it.
Yeah, but somebody at Torch, go ahead and Google giraffe pooping habit.
Why is giraffe poop spherical? Just like a machine gun of pellets, and they can pick their nose with their tongue. They're the most bachelor of animals. Are you gonna Google it? Andy's Googling it.
You can just
he can't bring up the nerve to say it to his phone. He doesn't want to say, okay, Google, why is giraffe poop round?
Here we go.
So what else? His phone heard me.
What's happening in the world other than that? Nothing else happened. It's pretty boring.
Why is giraffe poop round?
This is Crippled System. We're finally done. You're here to the end. I mean, it's fitting. It's been a week.
It is. It's
just the preview of this. I was hiking in a fairly remote woods over the weekend and saw lots of different scat from raccoon turds to moose poop. That was
all right. My job has been so fucking busy lately that I am tired all the fucking time. That's the story. So I'm going to share that with the world. I love sleep so much right now.
I had another poop story, but it's linguistic. So when I was a kid, I would read Jack London books. And he'd talk about tracking things and he'd find their spoor. And spoor, I have since learned, just means signs of them passing, like a broken twig or whatnot. But I just thought it meant poop. It sounds like a word for poop. So I just assumed he was tracking people by poop.
Poop.
They have like another part of their rectum.
They have a special polishing chamber. Yep.
There's this digestive tract called the cecum. C-E-C-U-M. A blind end pouch located in the junction of the small and large intestines.
Well, there you go.
So that's how...
There we go. Science.
That's how they make...
Science, bitches.
Fecal pellets.
Pellets, that's the word. Fecal pellets. Good word. You are tired.
Work is hard. Well, I have to work. It's hard. It's not fair. It's not fair when work
you
makes
guys
me
have
work.
Office jobs. You just sit there and listen to podcasts and play.
Not lately. Lately, I've had to go to meetings after meetings and organize things and actually do work. I used to like chat with Travis half the time, and now I just work all the time. I used to be able to just like chat with Travis and like four other people and just like sit at my desk all day and occasionally respond to an email and be like, I'm doing nothing all day. Now I have to like do things. It's just terrible.
You have to work with Jake, so.
You work with Quimby. That's like the worst. That guy is the worst. You're the worst, Jake, if you listen to this.
He doesn't.
He's adorable sometimes.
I love the guy. He is one of my favorite people in the. I think he would be an excellent replacement Jeremy on the podcast.
He's the most trollable person.
Oh God,
he's so like he's got this Catholic guilt thing going through him so tight that he's always apologizing about everything. And if I could say, Jake, I'm about to troll you, Jake, you're dumb. And he'll go, I'm sorry. I'm
like, no. I forget because you know you could be smart and stupid or stupid and smart. I forget which one he is because he's intelligent but he's dumb.
Yes,
that's what he is. Because he knows things, but yet he doesn't know things.
You can just look at him wrong and he starts apologizing.
Yeah. But he also thinks that Mulholland Drive is a good movie, so I have no pity for him.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
that's wrong.
Like, which is more wrong, Mulholland Drive is a good movie or Gotham is a good show?
Ooh, that's rough.
I have yet to do my research yet. I was going to start.
Well, I would. Don't. I mean, it's like I'm gonna do this terrible thing to keep putting it off because it's a terrible thing.
I do keep on putting it off because you know I don't want to.
Well, you're doing the TV equivalent of like when somebody drinks the milk and they're like, oh God, this milk's gone rancid. And you're like, really? Let me try. And then you take a sip and like, oh, you're right, it's rancid. Like, and yeah, that's what you're gonna do with Gotham.
It's like the raccoons in the trash. Oh, you've never seen the Geico commercial with that,
Little too. King Trash Mouth?
No.
King Trashmouth.
No.
That's his name, right?
No, King Trashmouth? No, there's a couple of raccoons that eat something rancid. And it's the same thing, what you were just talking about.
Gotcha. But they're raccoons.
Yeah.
Washer bears.
Trash pandas.
Trash pandas is good. I like washer bear.
I like trash pandas.
Well, sure. I mean, that's the obvious, the you know. It's like I like snakes. You call them nope ropes.
Yeah.
Nope. Do we have any rope. Zappity grumbles? Did anyone grumble zappy us?
I can check.
I see. There is one.
There's one.
My phone says Travis Idol added 3 photos in Circle or Boros.
So, as several of you are Dresden fans, have any of you tried the Rivers of London books by Ben Aaron Aronovich.
I have not. Aronovich. I have not.
That's from Dave.
Have you read those?
I have not.
I do have a book story. So people have talked about Ready Player One a lot as being a really good story.
Yeah.
I actually joined Audible because I got my free book, and the Audible book of Ready Player One. Now, it was what's unabridged mean versus, like, I didn't know what that.
It's like director's cut. Unabridged, because abridged is edited down, and the unabridged is the director's cut of
but,
the
I mean,
book.
If it's a book, you wouldn't want it unabridged? Why would you want an edited book? Anyway,
okay, compare the first 3 Game of Thrones books to the last 2. Sometimes you need shit edited, right?
Well, true, but I mean, if a book is done, I guess here's a book. I mean, it's like someone would like...
It's like deleted scenes, right? You know, and so the author's like, well, I originally had this stuff in there, and they just add that shit back in. All
right.
It's, you know.
Well, Will Wheaton read Ready Player One, and it was... when you join Audible, you get a token, which is worth $15 in any free book, and the Ready Player One book was like $30-some. It was the most expensive book I saw, so I used my token on that for the most value.
Sure, sure.
And it was like 15, 20 hours, and it was really good, but it was weird, because I've only listened to a few audiobooks, but they were always books that I have previously read.
Okay.
So this is like the first audiobook I was listening to of something brand new content. And it was weird for my brain, because it's a book, but my ears are reading the book, not my eyes. And it took me like a few hours to like get into it, because it was just awkward. But it was really good. But it was just bizarre. And then I went to quit Audible because I got my free book. I'm like, why would I want to stay?
That's what I did.
It's like, we'll give you the next 2 books for like $7.50. I'm like, well, sure, I'll do that, and then I'll quit again. If it keeps giving me like half off, I think it's well worth $7.50 a month. So I'll, you know, but as soon as it's like, nope, you're out, then I'll be done. But it was just amusing me that it gave me like a couple more months.
I found on my trip back from War Machine Weekend, which by the way, that was an amazing trip. I missed your guys' discussions on it.
Oh, I threw up on the way back a lot.
Oh, you what?
I got sick on my back. I had some bad food a Sunday morning, and I felt good after, like, it took me like 3 hours and a lot of vomiting, but then I felt better.
That sucks.
I got to drive all the way there and back alone.
Same thing with me.
I've gone to Gen Con, or I've gone to Ohio alone. It's
on the way back, though. I normally listen to like just loud music or energetic music, so I'm just usually listen to Andrew WK all the time, and you can't really make it through that album like 6-7 times. It kind of... You kind of get partied out.
On the way down, I listened to the entirety of Black Mountain Radio from Fallout New Vegas. That was great, because I love Rhonda and best friend Tabitha.
But on the way back, I ended up listening to just comedy routines. So I put on Amazon Music.
I did Pandora, but same thing, yeah.
Listened to one of Joe Rogan's, and I listened to a lot of Patton Oswalt. And I got to hear the whole him sitting in the grocery store behind the fat guy. Heard like all the ham. Yeah.
The Patton Oswalt I heard on the way back was the enraged wizard. It's a rope. Now it's two ropes. Now it's one rope again. Okay. Bam.
I've been listening to a lot of comedy with my car. Now I have all those radio stations, whatever it's called.
Oh, Sirius.
And my car is mostly on audio or comedy channels like 90% of the time.
That's not ironic. That's coincidental.
No, it's ironic. I don't know words.
Don't you think?
Nice.
A little too coincidental. And yeah, I really do think.
Hey, you know what you shouldn't do? Is you shouldn't listen to audiobooks when you have passengers in the car that you're trying to hold a conversation with.
When I got that book, I was like, man, I was tempted and actually playing the audiobook on the way to the event. Like if everyone in the car hadn't started, it would have been like a group thing. You know, we all agree to listen to it on the way down. But then we didn't because we wanted to talk.
Yeah. That is the worst thing that I have about before the podcast is when I'm trying to play a video game, trying to listen to actual audio that's happening in the video game, and then everybody just shows up downstairs and starts talking over it.
Well, yeah, because they're talking. What? Interaction with people is the best.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
People, what?
You don't believe that at all. You don't believe one word that came out of your mouth.
I do not at all. I'm keeping a positive attitude towards life now. It's my new thing. Everything is wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Another Zappity Grumble. What would Trump's Ben and Jerry's flavor have in it?
I don't know.
Some of the cherries.
I would assume orange.
Orange.
Sherbet. Like an orange sherbet because, you know, he's orange.
Yep.
Probably that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Zappity.
With a wall of caramel.
Bahomp.
Womp. Womp.
Womp. Womp.
Zappity.
Humble.
I bit back 753 different answers to that question, by the way, because we're not being political this week.
I didn't want to mention it at all, but it was like, why I was just being smart.
Just don't push your luck and don't ask me what the Mike Pence ice cream would have in it.
Grumble.
Is Nemo half the man you thought he was?
Sure.
Little Nemo from Dreamland?
Or the clownfish?
Sure.
Nero, the guy who burnt on Rome?
No, that's Nemo, not Nero.
Oh, sorry. I misheard you.
And Nero is also, he's just a caterpillar for Baron Silas Greenback.
Yeah. No. Nero is
the caterpillar from...
Nero is a Romulan whose family died when Spock failed to save them in time.
Yeah, oh, that's true, too.
And then he took his mining ship and kicked people's ass.
Yeah, what kind of future do they have where mining ships need to fuck people up that
well,
badly?
Well, I mean, if someone's going to make a mining ship that can do that, it's going to be the Romulan. I mean, let's be fair. they're going to be the ones.
I mean, I guess if they mine stuff by just attacking it, you know, like even their miners just punch the walls until ore falls out, shrieking in rage.
It works. Gets the job done eventually.
I do like a... Apparently, so there's a shot of Nero, like when you first see him, he's just laying peacefully in bed and there's like a close up of his face and you hear like one of his like crewmates, you know, like captain, blah, 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 whatever. And apparently that shot originally was him being brutally tortured by like Klingons. And that's his reaction to being tortured because he's that much of a badass. And then they just changed the ADR and cut out the whole Klingon prison thing.
Hmm.
That's why if you ever wonder why he appears and murders Kirk's dad and then they don't see him again for 20 years, he was in Klingon prison being twizzard for... It being tortured for 20 years. And then they break out, coincidentally, around the same time that Kirk graduates.
Hmm. That would have been interesting to see in there. It doesn't change the movie.
Yeah, like, I never gave a shit where they were for those 20 years. I just assumed they were flying around doing whatever.
Fucking shit up.
Waiting for Spock, right? Because, you know, they're like, oh, we're 20 years early. We'll just wait.
We got nothing to do. Let's go mine some shit.
Yeah. Turned out they were being tortured by Klingons.
Hmm.
They just cut that.
What's weird is how if they got captured. Seems like a weird.
Yeah, they got captured, and I mean, it's a whole bunch of
fucking shit.
That's the thing is that you'd have to. you don't need to explain where they've been, right? Yeah. And so trying to explain, you then open up more hows, you open more questions, and everyone you answer does two more, like the Hydra's heads.
Yeah.
So you just say, fuck it, they were flying around for 20 years.
They could also explain why the ship is that more advanced. They probably built more shit on that ship in the 20 years.
Maybe, although right when it comes out of there, it wrecks the shit out of Thor.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you, Thor. That's what he said, too. At the time, made no sense.
That's true.
It comes out and just goes, boom! It just fucks him up.
It is, but I mean, that is an equivalent of like almost like 50 years of technology.
Yeah. Right.
Well, probably more than 50 years.
Oh, it's a couple hundred years, I believe. Next gen is a couple years after original series.
Because Spock is still alive. Yeah, but I mean, Spock's like 150. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Spock's hundreds of years old in Next Gen. Like, Vulcans are just long lived.
No. He's not that old.
Is he like 150?
Because Scotty was, Bones was still alive. He was like 101.
Oh, Bones
when,
was still
when
alive
Next too? Generation started.
And I thought it was farther than that.
No, Bones was in the first episode. That was Encounter at Farpoint. Oh, I'm geeking out a little bit.
Well, that's fine. There's worse things to do than geek out.
All right, well, I guess we got two more Zappity Grumbles.
Two more. Yeah, I had them on the Facebook. I had them here.
What is the worst game you actually enjoy? Think so bad it's good. I don't know if games really work out for that. I mean, there's movies that you'll watch that are that bad, but are entertaining because they're that bad. I don't know if there's a game.
It's an interesting question. Is there a game that I don't like, but I can still have fun playing?
I don't know if there's... I feel there has to be some trashy video game that's a guilty pleasure for me. You know what I mean? Just some, like, shitty... Oh,
yeah.
You know, but I'm just... Nothing's popping in my head right now. And I know that I'll remember by next week. But there's... Board game's going to be rougher. Because if I'm going to put time into a board game, it better be good.
Well, for me... And this isn't really fair because it's a personal... Like, I'm not a huge fan of Hidden Trader games. So, to me, they're kind of bad. But they're not. Just personally. But I can play a little bit of them and have fun. But it's just like I can't do a lot of it and have fun. But I can do short bursts and have a lot of fun. But it's not they're not bad games. It's a personal opinion kind of a thing. But there are video games that are considered crappy that I might still sink time and do.
I guess it's not a board game, but I might consider like Cards Against Humanity being a bad game. I mean, it's a bad game, but it's something that I don't mind playing like once a year. In a very short burst.
Yeah, like I could do 5 minutes of it just fine. I still wouldn't like the game, but I could laugh for 5 minutes and move on.
Somebody could come up with a combination that you have never seen before.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
More likely not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, some of those, like, I was a big fan of the LucasArts style games in the 90s, like... Full Throttle and the Sam and Max games and stuff like that. And so I'll play like any of those. And some of those like Phantasmagoria. Phantasmagoria is not a good game. Like, it's so like flawed and stuff like that. But because at the time it was so mind-blowing, like I'll still play that shit.
Like the old Dragon's Quest games I didn't like, but I still would play them and be amused and die terribly and walk away angry.
And then I did pull up a guilty pleasure board game that I used to play with a friend who was in my board game group when we were met on Wednesdays. But it's a game called Castle of Magic that has everything. It's roll move. It's got hidden trader mechanics and hidden teams. It's just this hodgepodge of random shit and bad artwork, and it's somehow glorious.
It's amazing how much people hate. Some people will freak out of like when you have that roll move, like we have to roll dice to move.
Yeah,
people just like hate that mechanic more. I didn't realize until like the last year how much some people just hated that. More than life itself. It was very interesting.
There's still a Zappity Grumble.
Yeah, there's one more Zappity Grumble.
I can't answer it.
Well, none of us can. How did you survive Provol, the processed cheese-ish substance on the St. Louis pizza? The answer is none of us ate St. Louis pizza because...
One of the nights we actually got pizza because we were too lazy to leave.
But did you get St. Louis style or did you get normal pizza in St. Louis?
I thought they ordered St. Louis pizza, but we hadn't eaten such a long period of time that we had. It was like thin crust, so I'm not sure if that's the same stuff.
Well, so, I mean, thin crust is fine. Or like even here we'll do like the cracker style that's cut into squares, but apparently St. Louis pizza has this different cheese... terribleness and like shitty sauce instead of tomato sauce. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever I ate, it was I didn't have a lot of it and I was really, really hungry at the time, so it tasted like pizza, so maybe it wasn't the special stuff, but it was late Saturday night.
I've heard nothing but terrible things about quote St. Louis style unquote pizzas.
Yeah, I did not hear a positive thing, so I may or may not have eaten it. But that's my story. Andy, the question itself kicked Andy out of the room.
To yeah, even business. Thinking about St. Louis style pizza made his Arby's act up.
Indeed.
Indubitably, old chum. It's my Heckle and Jekyll impression.
Heckle and Jekyll?
Heckle and Jekyll, the talking magpies.
Take that. Cartoon. Boom.
Yarr. It's like Daffy Duck if there were two of them and he was a crow.
Yarp.
True.
A moment of silence for Andy. I'm so happy your brother backed that game.
I am so happy, too. Although, didn't he say that he backed it yesterday and then canceled his backing this morning? So maybe he'll cancel again tomorrow. That'll make me even happier.
Like, I would be sad because he's going to... It's bugging me that I don't even have the Kickstarter stuff for the Teenage Mutant Ninja game. I mean, it came and went. I didn't even know it was a thing, Kickstarter. That's the thing about Kickstarter. It's nuts. A Kickstarter game can come out. You can just not hear about it because you can't stay tuned in a Kickstarter all the time. It's just terrible for your wallet. So I'll ignore it. Then I rely on someone sharing something or someone telling me or a news feed from something saying, hey, this oh. Whoa, my God.
Jesus, I'm sorry.
Comes out. And then this game comes out, and you buy it off retail. You actually like it a lot. You're like, this is a great game. Then you find out there's this things for it that you can't get.
Right.
There's the chance, and I haven't seen, like, the pieces that I'm missing, I haven't seen on eBay. Like, I've seen the whole collector's edition sold on eBay, but no one's, like, cut out just those couple parts.
Well, why would they?
Why would they? So now I have a game that I like that I know there's things for it that exist that maybe make it better. Maybe they don't, but they exist, and I don't have them, so it makes me almost not want what I have.
Yeah, but I mean, I figure you must be able to get... So, like, Splinter is a playable character rules. Like, you can just get the rules somewhere, right?
Probably,
like,
yeah.
You know, and rules for Mausers, I'm sure you can get somewhere, and then you just got to get Mauser
minis. And the cool thing is, like, the game is very scenario-based, so that the collector edition probably had some new missions that include... All the missions I have don't even include those monsters, so it doesn't even matter. I'm sure there must
they're
be
not
new...
monsters, they're robots.
Well, I mean, the enemy types.
Okay.
So there's probably new missions that include those as enemy types. So
I take Mausers very seriously.
Yeah. But you could just get Splinter and get a quick mini... or whatever. So it's not that big of a deal. It's just when it comes to getting games, I don't like not having everything for something. It irks me. It's a me problem, though. I understand that.
Fair enough.
We are going to start recommendations right now.
There's one question here. Somebody asked to me specifically, but I mean the two of you can answer too. You guys just don't play minions. But if I could get a minion Lesser Warlock upgraded to full blown, I would definitely choose Rorsch. Rorsch is amazing. That the League fiction with him and Brian traveling around murdering humans because he's too drunk to remember why he was in the desert. Good stuff. Just great story. I love Rorsch. He's amazing in Mark 3. Three initial range attacks a turn is fucking great.
I'd like to see more of those beasts. I'd like to see Dahlia.
Yeah, more tassel worms. Yeah,
they're just really cool looking. I'd like to see what some of the sculptors can do with them now.
Because you could definitely have like a unit of tassel worm swarms and whatnot, and
yeah, maybe like a little babies.
Yeah,
they could chase a little lizard. It'd be great.
And I mean, she could even learn to control other types of beasts. I mean, there's other war beasts in the Monstronomicon than gators and pigs, right? And so you could just lump anything under her. Because obviously she doesn't have, you know, Wrong Eye is a gator, he has a gator beast. There's a genetic tie there. You know, the Trollkins having troll beasts, there's a genetic tie there. Rorsch with Brian, there's a genetic tie there. She's got no tie to a tassel worm, so that's different. No. It's kind of like Brun and Lug. There's no specific tie to a polar bear and a dwarf. So, yeah.
Indeed.
What about you? You have to answer. Do it now. Do it. Answer.
Which
do
minions? I completely zoned out.
Say Wrong Eye and then
Wrong Eye.
Zappity grumble. Recommendations time.
Recommendations time.
I'm going to give mine first just in case I have to leave again.
Okay.
My recommendation is, I think if you have HBO Go, go and watch Children of Men. Or go rent Children of Men. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't heard of it, just go do it.
I'm proud I convinced you and Jim to go see it randomly.
Yep.
It's a really good movie.
Nick wouldn't go because he told him it was about child porn. He got confused and wouldn't come with us. I want to go see Children of Men. I heard it was neat. I don't know anything else about it. And Jim and Andy are like, are you sure? Nothing about it. No, I just heard it's got Clive Owen. We all like Clive Owen. And Nick's like, what's it about? And we said, well, probably child porn. And he's like, ooh, and like walked away. Because we had no idea. I was like, I just...
It's I don't want to tell you about it, but literally just watch it. Just watch it.
It is definitely universally applauded as an amazing film. So this isn't some niche Andy guilty pleasure or whatever thing. This is an amazing film.
It's got a great like 15, almost 10 minute single shot scene, which is always great in a movie.
Multiple single shot scenes. Yeah. It's done by the same guy who did Birdman, I believe. I believe it's the same director.
That explains the guy flying around in the sky dressed as a bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have to double check.
I don't know. What is your recommendation, Ethan?
My recommendation is a little shitty one, but I don't care. So I downloaded a game on my phone, and normally phone games are like, you know,
freemium stuff,
whatever.
I do download all your recommendations, and I sometimes don't dislike them.
This one is right away here. The first four words of my recommendation can be just a dead stop, okay?
But all right.
If you like Minesweeper...
Wow.
So that's the level, I said it's a dumb one. That's the level of dumb. So it's called Mamono Sweeper, M-A-M-O-N-O. And what it is it's basically Minesweeper, but a little more complex, like as an RPG almost, because instead of... When you see... Here, I'll click on a thing here if it'll pop open. There we go. So like...
So far, it looks like a Minesweeper.
It is like a Minesweeper, but you see that one there in the corner has a 4, but there's only one there, so I know there's a level 4 monster there. It's not a mine. There's a monster, and he's level 4. And so there's 5. Well, there's a 4 there, so this other one must be a 1, and because I'm level 1, I can kill a level 1 monster. So I need to find all the level 1 monsters and kill them, and then I'll level up to level 2, and then I can kill the level 2 monsters. So it's just slightly more complex Minesweeper. So it's just a dumb game to play while you're pooping. It's nothing too overly deep, but it's also not like one of those like one of those games like Jeremy would play where you have to log in every 12 minutes to get the card. Not one of those fucking things, you know. It's neat because it's like Minesweeper with a little bit of a twist that makes it just slightly more interesting if you're looking for something really low impact, very low key.
He directed Gravity.
That makes more sense. Yeah.
And I'm going to recommend Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition.
Boosh!
It's very important.
1st Edition was great.
1st Edition is 4 versus 1, which I don't mind the concept of the game. I felt was terrible, although some people love it. 2nd Edition is pure 100% co-op versus the game, and you have to download an app to your iPhone or your iPad or your device. Probably a tablet's probably better. And the tablet just is amazing. Like the people at Fantasy Flight got some. They have like some. Their app developers right now are just fucking hitting home runs on all their game apps right now. Very atmospheric in the game. The mechanics of the game. If you've played any of their Arkham games or any of their Eldritch Horror games, it's got some of the. You're very familiar with how you play this kind of a game. But the app just kind of how it generates things is neat. And Ben Lang had played the first mission a couple times. He said even the first mission was different enough that it wasn't like completely. You know, that playing it again wasn't like boring because it changed up a few things.
Sure.
And as you buy expansions of the app, when you first start a game, you tell it which expansions you have, so the game knows what it can and can't do, and it generates the place you're going into, and it's just a lot of fun. It's just mechanically the game is a lot of fun, and then just the way the app works is a lot of fun. It adds a lot of mystery and theme to it, and there's like sometimes you have to solve puzzles, and you have to grab the iPad. You have to grab the iPad and actually try to solve puzzles on the screen and kind of get through these kind of stuff. And there's like.
Oh, like instead of just having a card like in the game that's like, you're trying to solve a puzzle, roll your intelligence. Like it literally has a puzzle.
And then based on your intelligence in the game, based on your stats, you get like X and one of choice. You get much more turns at the puzzle and stuff like that. It's just really well done, and it's well worth the money. If you like co-op games, it's amazing. I mean, I've been on a co-op spree lately.
They have sometimes it stops being co-op, or is Nobody Nick thinking of
No, he's betrayal? Right. In the game, if you let's say you have like 7 health or 7 sanity, once you take so many little if you take like 7 sanity of damage, you get an insanity. And then the insanity is like it does switch from co-op to you have an insanity and you have to have something else happen or you can't win. It may be win with everyone, but do some weird crazy thing. Like,
sure.
Make sure the building's on. Make sure half the mansion's on fire while you also try to do things.
Sure.
And there is like one where it's like you only win if the players lose, kind of a thing. But you have to literally get fucked up pretty bad. And I don't know if you can cure the insanity or not. I haven't played it enough, but it definitely is. You can definitely get some insanities that does change the game a little bit.
People in the chat are arguing about which is the most depressing movie between Children of Men and Bicentennial Man. And I still, like, how are they not going to The Road or Requiem for a Dream, like we talked about? Did they miss that whole conversation?
Well, The Road is
depressing. Or Up.
That's just the first 10 minutes. The movie gets happy after that.
The movie still ends fucking sad, too.
No, it gets bad. It's a
happy sad, but it's still fucking...
Sure, his wife's still dead, but, I mean, it's not the monkey's paw. She wasn't going to come back, but he and the kid are friends, and, you know, he's you know, it's happy.
Yeah, he's happy. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I think, I mean, The Road, I think, I don't know, I think, I'm not sure, I don't think The Road is more depressing than Children of Men. Children of Men, I guess, has some hopefulness in Children of Men.
There is, yeah. I don't want to give away too much about the film, but I just want people to go watch it and tell us what they think of
The Road. The Road does not have a happy end. The Road is not.
Well, the kid and the, like, you know, he finds nice people.
Well,
okay,
hopefully they're nice people.
Hopefully they're nice people.
And the world's still over.
Like, yeah, like,
is
okay.
Is that still
a Viggo
the film? Is
yeah,
that Viggo
yeah.
Mortensen?
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen The Road.
It's slow and dull and depressing.
And everybody dies.
And everyone dies.
And then the people who aren't dead are only not dead because they're eating the other people. And then, yeah.
And then they're going to die.
I keep on thinking of The Road to Perdition, I think it is, with Tom Hanks.
It's very similar.
Okay.
It is very, very similar.
They're pretty much the same film.
Only until about the halfway point can you tell a difference between them. It's actually the first half is exactly the same.
I think it's a shot-for-shot remake.
Pretty much.
But I did, like, I read... a couple. I need to see if he has more, but I don't think it's a common enough theme to have. But there's a person who did a couple articles where they reviewed movies from the point of view of a dietitian, and they reviewed The Road because they were discussing the logistics of having a human larder system where you actually captured people and kept them alive and harvested them for meat. And he's like, it's actually return on investment. You're better off just eating the stuff you're feeding to the people. It's a waste of time. And, you know, sure, they've got the pregnant, they've got the breedery where they breed women and then eat their babies. It's just not worth it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also did one for Snowpiercer, which is discussing, you know, the logistics of, like, all the... Which is still weird to be a Snowpiercer that they're all like, ew, we're eating bug blocks. And it's like, you literally ate babies.
Yeah.
Like, once I've eaten a baby, I don't think cockroaches are going to weird me out that much.
Yeah, no, once you cross, there's a line you cross, and then once you're there, everything. It's like, this is completely different, but when I played Fallout, now that I played Fallout in survival mode, I can't go back to regular mode.
No, why would you?
So once you eat a baby, you just can't go, you don't care about eating like anything else.
No,
you've had,
no,
you've,
nothing
you've,
else is
you've,
good.
You've had the prime rib of food, why anything else?
Real baby back ribs, just dripping with sauce.
Yeah.
That's from C-Lab, I stole that, so yeah. I'm not evil for saying it. If it's a quote, you're not evil.
What a week.
That's all I just got. Feel like there's some other super depressing movie I'm not thinking of.
There are a thousand. I mean, the one boxing girl movie is somewhat depressing.
Oh,
$1 Million Baby.
Million Dollar Baby is exceptionally depressing.
Yeah, yeah. That's good times. That's good times.
You go see that movie, you're like, this is kind of a fun movie. Now it's really depressing, and now he ate pie because he basically was broken. Yeah. Arrival is kind of depressing in some ways, too. But not quite these level depressing, but there's, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of depressing things in movies. I mean, Schindler's List isn't exactly a comedy.
Yeah, but, you know, it has... happy-ish ending, and you go into it knowing it's Schindler's
List.
That's true. You don't walk in a $1 million baby going, I can't wait till she gets paralyzed. And
oh, boy, he's going to teach her to box, and they're going to win $1 million.
It's in the title. It's got to happen.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. There are some movies where they surprise you with how depressing they are.
How are people this wrong? Joseph 1313 in the chat says, can we agree that Everybody Hurts is the depressing song?
No.
And obviously the depressing song is the Johnny Cash version of Hurt. Like, let's not even pretend that all three of us didn't immediately know that's the one I was
going
to say.
That video is...
Before Doctor Strange, there was a trailer for Logan. And they're playing that song, and I was literally tearing up by the end of the trailer. The trailer wasn't depressing. They're just playing that song, and that's fucking enough.
Playing that song in that trailer was actually pretty fucking amazing.
It was really amazing.
I cannot wait for a car trip with Logan. I really want to redub that with Holiday Road.
But Everybody Hurts. I mean, that was up for a long time before the Johnny Cash remake, and that is high up there.
No, though. Everybody Hurts. He's talking about the REM song.
Yeah, that's a very yeah. No, that was before the Johnny Cash's remake.
Yeah, but my
issue Johnny Cash's remake is Nine Inch Nails.
I know that, but I'm saying it was years later.
Okay,
that's what I meant. Okay.
But I don't think Everybody Hurts has always been the depressing song, because to me, it's always been the feel sorry for yourself song. Like, I don't feel depressed listening for Everybody Hurts. I just want to slap Michael Stipe for being a whiny piece of shit.
I don't know. I felt it was a very depressing song.
I love how Travis keeps on trying to post links into our chat, and he doesn't realize
we don't want your porn, Travis. Yeah,
I do.
It's probably pretty boring.
I don't want to see Vulcan porn.
I'm not into robots.
I am inserting now.
This is the logical way for us to have intercourse.
No, this is pleasurable for you and I.
I have fixed your cable as promised. That is logical. Shows up, fixes the cable, and leaves. Yeah. There's no sex.
Here is your pizza, man.
Thank you. This transaction has gone exactly as intended.
Sometimes amazing things happen. Travis Porn is the best thing that's happened in the last 7 days. Oh.
It's been a good week. We should stop.
I can go back home to crying.
All right.
I'm tired. I need to get work.
Oh, yeah. Fucking the Sarah McLachlan ASPCA commercials.
Oh, the commercials themselves are just fucking depressing.
Well, they wait.
There's song ads to it.
Well, and they wait to create. They say, happy holidays. Here's a dead animal. This animal will be dead by the time this commercial is over. Have a happy, enjoy your turkey.
Although, you know what? It almost works. Like, the children's fun and shit like that, and Sally Southers, I'm always like, yeah, whatever. Get back to my TV show. But every time I see one of those commercials, I get a pictometer closer to actually getting a monthly donation subscription to ASPCA. I'm almost there. I care about animals more than people, is what I've learned.
I was going to say that.
100%. There's no doubt there.
I guess it's also with kids too, but if I see, some abused child or abused animal, I want to kill whoever did it. Eye for an eye in that sense.
Right. And it's weird, like, I guess because it's kids versus adult, right? Like, if I see a homeless guy, I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. Sorry. And if I see a homeless dog, like, I weep for a week because, a homeless dog. That's just a stray. But, like, some shivering in the alleyway, whatever. But, yeah, poor dogs. We don't deserve dogs.
We're kitties.
Kitties are okay, but we don't deserve dogs. Like, the raw loyalty in dogs is insane.
Man. Yep. All right. We calling it?
We started already? I thought this was a pre show. I thought you were warming up to get to the
stuff. Yeah, it's the pre-ramble. We should do like Muse and now talk about War Machine for 5 minutes and then put this after that. I think Una 2 is really good. All right. That's our episode.
There we go.
Una 2 is really good.